Today we're celebrating a marvelous feast of the Ascension. And this marvelous feast is not merely about something that took place 2,000 years ago. For though Christ, our head, has ascended, we, the members of his body, are ascending with him. Because he was ascended, we too are ascended. That in our lives as Christians, we are brought higher every year by our Lord, who is drawing us up with him. This isn't some mere slogan, but something we are actually experiencing in our lives through the sacraments each and every year. That if we are faithful, the feast of our Lord's Ascension is our feast too. That the reading today describes the wondrous event witnessed by the apostles. That by his power, our Lord is taken to heaven. That in doing so, he opens up a path for us too. The gates of paradise swing open again. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. That in Christ, man returns to God. And so we can consider in realizing that, this fact of the Ascension, three things. That we can imagine first the glory of this moment. That scripture says, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and the cloud took him from their sight. And they were looking intently in the sky as he was going. The apostles were transfixed, looking up in the sky at our Lord going up into heaven. Transfixed, just standing there, dumbfounded that our Lord is going to heaven. So much so that the angels have to come and beckon them to get along to Jerusalem as Jesus has commanded them. That the angels have to go and say, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking in the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken away from you into heaven will come back again in the same way. You have seen him go into heaven. They, yes, it was glorious. Jesus had once said, as a summons to faith, what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? But he also encouraged them, saying, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And so here is a glorious reality, a fulfillment of what Jesus had promised, what he had said. That in the Ascension, it doesn't seem that our Lord entered heaven alone. That as we remarked, in his mystical body, we also ascend with him. I consider the scriptures that affirm that. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives. And he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also had to descend into the lower parts of earth? He who descended is he who also ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. That if we recall, yes, our Lord earlier, just after his death, had descended to Sheol, had awakened the dead, the just souls waiting, preached the gospel to them. And now for those he has justified came the moment to ascend with Jesus as a host, as this great army of saints, an army of former captives now set free. And we can go and think of that great procession that enters behind Christ through the now open gates of heaven. Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rachel, Judith, David, Samuel, Jeremiah, Malachi, his cousin John the Baptist, and one day, us. That yes, this was a great rescue. Adam and his descendants have not just simply been restored to some paradise-like garden on earth. They now can enter into heaven. They have access to something far greater than before. And having that access to heaven now, consider this once captive train sings exultantly as they follow Christ upward to heaven. Then recall what our response to our psalm was. That God mounts his throne to shouts of joy. The Lord amid trumpet blasts. that this is a great day to rejoice because we have that access to heaven. We've already marked that when Christ ascends, we ascend. Why and how? The scripture says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. That all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. By his baptism, we were buried together with him. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, we too might live a new and glorious life. That we've been united to Christ as part of his mystical body. That when he died, we died to that life of sin and death. That when he rose, we rose to that new life. When he ascends, we ascend. But you might say, he's in glory while we'll steer here on earth. How is it that I'm ascended or am ascending? You can go and consider this example, using our physical bodies. And if you get on an elevator and press the button for the top floor, okay, the top of your head arrives before your feet to that floor. And so the whole body will get there eventually, unless some strange accident happens and you're like chopped off at your head. Okay, but you're going to all get there through that elevator. In an analogous way, this is how it is with Jesus' mystical body. Christ, our head, is there in glory. Some of his members of his body have already gotten there as well. The rest of the body is still journeying up in that elevator to that floor of heaven. That we're already enthroned in glory with him. If we hold fast, stay a member of his body. This is the fellowship of the ascension. And Jesus does not just return to heaven to abandon us. He's more present to us than we are to ourselves. He's with us always until the end of the age. It's what he went and said to the apostles in giving them that apostolic mandate. That in ascending without abandoning us, he goes to procure some very important things for us. That Jesus has taught clearly that he's ascending in order to send us the Holy Spirit. Then nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I did not go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. That in a week, we get to celebrate that great feast of the counselor, of the Holy Spirit coming to us in Pentecost. Freeing us from that fear and doubt of hiding in the upper room. Getting to go out and be the Christians that we are called to be. That our Lord goes in order that with the Father, he might send the Holy Spirit to live within us as a temple. And in this way and through the Eucharist, he will dwell with us even more intimately than when he walked here on earth. That Jesus also said, And I, if I be lifted up from heaven, will draw all men unto me. That while immediately what Jesus was speaking about was the crucifixion there, and saying that he often intends those double meanings. That clearly Christ's glorification is his crucifixion. But it also goes and includes his resurrection and ascension, as you'll hear in the Eucharistic prayer. I will say. That it speaks about all three together. Of that this is a memorial of all three events. And so from his place in glory, Christ is drawing all people to himself. He is also bestowing grace on us from his Father's right hand. To be his co-workers in the harvest. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That yes, from Christ's throne in heaven, he is bringing about a great harvest. Has been bringing about a great harvest. This is what he is doing. This is the work of him in heaven that we participate in. And at the Father's right hand, Jesus is there interceding for us to his Father. That consequently, he is able from all time to save those who draw near to God through him. since he lives always to make intercession for him. That our Lord links his ascension to the unleashing of a special power. Amen, amen, I say to you. He who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. We must not understand asking in the name of Jesus is some kind of mere incantation. For to ask in his name means to ask in accordance with his will. To say, Lord, I ask this, but not my will be done, but yours. That yet we must come to experience the power of Christ to draw us to that great and wondrous things in his sight. Despite the mystery of iniquity all about us, we trust that Christ is conquering, even in the puzzling and apparent victories of the world's rebellion. That in putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. That we are all subject to our Lord. That's why at the end of the liturgical year, we celebrate him as King of the universe and earth. He is our King. That thus from heaven we have the help of the Lord's grace, which if we will accept it, is an ever-present help unto our salvation. And Jesus indicates that in going to heaven, he's preparing that place for us. That at the Last Supper, he told the apostles that he must go into order to prepare the many mansions for us, that he has each a dwelling place for us. It's like he's the construction worker, blueprints out a hard hat on. He's overseeing the construction of a mansion for us to dwell with him, the Father and the Holy Spirit, to enjoy that beatific vision forever in heaven. That's the great hope the ascension promises us, that we can see how much he loves us by him ascending into heaven. Said he can continue to bestow his grace and love on us, to continue that work of salvation he wrought for us by dying on the cross. That we must live out this ascension every day of our lives, knowing this hope, that death is not the end. Sickness and illness is not the end. Our end is that we go to heaven one day. That is what we are about as Christians. That is why we live out the Ten Commandments. Why we live the life of the sacraments. That one day we too ascend with our Lord into heaven.